It's finally here. Stanley Cup Final. Game day. Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, technical directors Derek Brandeo and Jake the Snake Schultz. As always, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Game one on this June 4th.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday, Kipper. I'd sing, but no one wants to hear that.
I was referencing June 4th for game one, not my birthday.
Me and Bourne celebrated by wearing the exact same color shirt.
We did. We know you love lilac. Yeah. We went heavily lilac.
It's true. 59 years ago, my mom was screaming, "Get this thing out of me."
What do we want to do for 60 next year? What are we having, a big Sportsnet shindig or what?
Yeah, there has to be a golf trip.
Yeah, there has to be a golf trip. Live from Cabot next year. And it's going to be in June. We should legitimately have a show somewhere else if you're 60.
St. Lucia? Where do you want to go?
That's where I want to go.
They won't even get us out of this studio.
We'll just do it ourselves.
We'll just leave.
Yeah. We'll call it in.
You know, we'll plan on it between the conference final and the Stanley Cup final. We'll get 10 days, 2 weeks for sure.
That's a great point.
Actually, you know what we can do is we can have Brandeo and Jake do the show. Like, they could be on the mics that day.
Yes. Perfect.
Just to get us through that day.
Perfect.
Awesome stuff. Okay, in a couple of minutes, we'll welcome in Jason Greger. We've had him on before. He does an amazing job covering the Edmonton Oilers on his own show, 1440 in Edmonton. And he's going to help us tell everyone watching and listening why Connor McDavid is going to finally join the best, the greats in history by simply winning the Stanley Cup. Because that's what he's supposed to do. That's what great players do.
Tonight, he may or may not. I'm going to go ahead and say he will have Connor Brown along with him. Sounds like Brown is going to warm up and is a game-time decision. For the Panthers, A.J. Greer, not going to play.
He was really hurting.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was going to say he was really effective against
the Leafs anyway. At the end, he was, I don't know if it was a groin or what, but he could barely come off the ice, and I don't think seven days is getting it done for him.
Jesper Boqvist is going to draw in. They use him like 4 or 5 minutes a game when he plays. But honestly, I kind of like the player.
He's fast.
Good skater.
Yeah. So
we're here.
I'm really, first of all, cripplingly jealous. Just so jealous of the Oilers and their fans and them having this experience and them having McDavid. And just, I hate to say that I am rooting for them, but I am rooting
for them. But you're growing up. You're maturing.
Yeah, I just can't. Can you picture us having to like do this all again next year? And I went on with Ben and Gunner this morning, and Ben was arguing with me that the higher stakes would be for them to meet three straight years and have Connor not win something. But
what is he, a Buffalo Bill?
Yeah, I just
catching a stray.
You can't to go to two straight and not win.
Well,
one is a horrifying feeling if you're an Oiler fan.
It's an incredibly different feel. Because there is just no sense of accomplishment going to a Stanley Cup final like there was last year for them. And it was just very much business that there was zero celebration. It was just like the picture of Leon grabbing the conference trophy and just carrying it to the dressing room and...
Like he's carrying a bucket.
Get a shower, get on the plane, and let's go. Because this will even suck more than it did last year if we don't find a way to win.
Now, can you say that this is actually a more impressive cup final run for them? Not just what they've done to their opponents, but like from last year, they lost Holloway and Broberg and Fogel and McLeod and guys who mattered for them. They added guys like Arvidsson and Skinner they don't really use. You know, like it's a lot of the same guys. It might be a worse team than last year's my point.
Sure.
Still got Skinner, whatever, and they still just plowed through everyone on their way. I think it's an impressive run.
Let me ask you something, though.
Okay.
If there's a chance that they do lose this series, mm-hmm. are you or anyone else going to go, yeah, but they lost so-and-so, and they lost so-and-so?
No. I'm going to be terribly critical, which I think Oilers fans would say, yeah, we're pretty upset that we don't have a couple of those guys or some better replacements.
But in fairness,
Wallman and Klingberg huge for them.
Huge.
So they made no ads.
Frederick's had some moments in the playoffs where he's been decent, too. So, anyways.
Some wins, some losses.
Yeah. Are we ready for Jason?
He is there.
We are. Jason Greger, host of the Jason Greger Show on Sports 1440 in Edmonton, joins us now. Jace, thanks for doing this again. You are our man here as we go into game one. But just give us a sense of what the week's been like, you know, on and off the ice and the buildup up until game one.
Honestly, I think it's like the calmest one that I can recall covering. The Oilers are very calm. They were here last year. I think it's also just their journey to the Cup final. Like, they spanked Vegas. They spanked Dallas. They had almost a week off in between each series. Like, they're very rested. Obviously, the Zach Hyman injury is out with a dislocated wrist and tore some tendons in his hand. So he might not even be ready for the start of next season. But other than that, like, they're really healthy. Ekholm, they got back in game five. McDavid, Draisaitl, who were banged up last year. Darnell Nurse only played 15 minutes a night last year. He's fully healthy. Kane barely played. He's fully healthy. So, you know, they seem like a team that is very, very much comfortable being in this situation because they were here last year, but also very driven, man. Like, they got lots of guys who have been around a long time who haven't won. Like, Corey Perry's won a cup, but it's been 18 years mm-hmm. since he won a cup. Right, and he's still playing, and he's got 7 goals, and you know, you got Henrique and Kane and Nugent Hopkins and Ekholm who have played 1,000 games and don't have a cup. Like, they got a lot of experienced guys who I think don't want to waste this opportunity.
So how is the, you know, we were just having the chat, I was saying that I feel like this was more impressive return to the Cup final. A, they spanked everyone, and B, I think that it maybe isn't quite as strong a roster as last year, and maybe you can correct me on that, but it feels like this has been more impressive accomplishment because I feel like, if anything, equal or lesser roster, and they've made short work of everyone.
Well, I would agree with you that it's been impressive in the sense of how they've dominated, but I actually think the roster is way better.
You do.
Their defense core, Klingberg and Wallman, move the puck infinitely better than they did last year. You know, Darnell Nurse is healthy. That makes a difference. Like, Leon Draisaitl, people forget this. Draisaitl had 24 points in the first two series last year. 24. He was leading the NHL in scoring. Then he only had 7 points in the final two series because he got banged up and just didn't have a goal. He wasn't himself. He's fully healthy. I really think that, you know, Frederick, I know people will look and say, you know, he hasn't added a lot, but
I like
he's outscoring the opponent. He outscores him 5-on-5. He doesn't make a lot of defensive mistakes. Janmark is, in Edmonton, they call him playoff Janmark. He elevates his game. Like, the guy's got 7 points already in Stanley Cup finals. Like, that guy knows how to score and mm-hmm. produce when he wants to. So I actually think their team is better overall from the back end. And when I say better, because they're built, Podkolzin, Perry, Hyman when he was in, Kane, Frederick, like, they're a more physical forward group. And I was looking actually at NHL Edge. Their speed overall is actually slightly ahead of last year, even without McLeod and Fogel.
Jason, when we look at the Oilers, for sure that we focus on the depth that's around a guy like Connor McDavid and, to a lesser degree, Leon Draisaitl. But, you know, I can't walk out the door. I can't go to the golf course without people telling me all week that there's just no way Connor McDavid's going to lose the Stanley Cup 2 years in a row. And is that really kind of the sense that's pushed right out west from here, in terms of when it's all said and done, that Connor is the guy that's going to make sure that doesn't happen?
Well, I think so, but look, you were on teams. One guy doesn't win. Right, like, the great teams have usually multiple Hall of Famers, right? Like multiple Hall of Fame players. And so when Gretzky finally won after losing, he had Messier who won the Conn Smythe, and Crosby when he lost his first year, the next year he won, and Malkin won the Conn Smythe. So as good as they were, and as good as I think McDavid's going to be, you know, you have Leon Draisaitl. You know, they've got some other guys. Their defense core with Evan Bouchard's putting up ridiculous numbers, and now Ekholm's back. So their team is good. But, yes, could McDavid win a game by himself in the series and be the difference? Yes. I think Connor McDavid, he puts more pressure on himself than anyone. And I think if he wins that, I think next year or the year after, he might even be better because that weight of having a Stanley Cup, and it's a big weight to carry for guys. It's harder to win cups now than it was when there was 21 teams, right? You just do the math. It's harder. So I think that for him, they lost last year in game 7. Everybody saw his speech after game 2. You saw that. I talked to him. I was there. The tears after losing game 7. It's real. And I think this team recognizes that they don't want to waste this opportunity because there's no guarantee you'll get back. I know Florida's made it 3 in a row and Tampa's made it 3 in a row, so it's definitely doable, but you don't want to roll that dice that you can get back here, and I think get back here and be as healthy and rested as they are right now.
Jason, is there anything in this series that you have your eye on that you feel like hinges on the outcome? Any particular matchup between what Florida does and Edmonton does that you feel like this has to go right for the Oilers?
Well, I want to get your guys' opinion on this because I've been looking at the series. I watched a lot of film for what Florida does. And Florida doesn't change. Everybody knows what they're going to do. Yeah. They forecheck very aggressively, and they forecheck in sync. But they really dominated Carolina on the boards and on the wall. And so I look at Edmonton. They've got a good breakout team. But I wonder, as a systemic kind of technical thing, are we going to see the right wingers – I want you guys' opinion on this. The right wingers play left wing of the D zone because now you're going to get that puck on rims on your forehand guys and be able to protect the puck from the defenseman because they love to pinch down on guys. I don't know if you'll do it all the time, but I think we're going to see that at certain times. Mm-hmm. And Chris Knobloch always thinks outside the box. So that's my little small thing to watch for. But obviously it's going to be, can the Oilers, they'll handle the forecheck, but can they force it into odd man rushes? Because if the Oilers get enough odd man rushes, they'll burn you.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how quickly the Oilers can get the pucks off the wall and into the middle of the ice, where at times the Panthers' defense is vulnerable. Like, mm-hmm. they do give up breakaways, and we had Valley verify that for us earlier in the week.
Yeah.
Well, and they do, and because of that pinch that you're talking about, you know, watching that Leaf series, that was the series, was can you make – can you have your wingers come back low enough and receive the first pass low enough that it puts those D pinching D in a tough spot?
Where they're caught.
Because the Leafs tried to flip the puck out in the neutral zone for the whole series, and Florida just went back, got it, and as what do they call it, three-quarter iced them. And that doesn't work. The flip-out's not the answer, so.
No, it's not the answer. And, like, you watch, I can't remember what game it was when Marchand scored, like, 15 seconds into the second period. And if you go back and watch that play, when they dump it in, Morgan Rielly goes back and he has it. He has it, but he elects to go behind the net on his backhand, puts it up on the wall, it's turned over, 3 seconds later it's in the net. Had he spun on his forehand, he would have had it wide open on that side. I really think there's going to be an onus, even though it's NHL guys and they can all handle the puck, they all handle it better, maybe except Draisaitl, on their forehand than they do on their backhand. And so you can go back to pucks because the Oilers against Dallas and Vegas, they really use the rims a lot. They would come in the corner, those two teams would forecheck, and they would just rim it hard around the boards, and Edmonton went out all the time. But Florida is much better at limiting that and then being pressure on that opposite side boards winger. And I think Edmonton's going to have to do a better job, and I don't think their defensemen can just blindly fire up the boards on the rims as much as they did the last series. It worked because of how Dallas and Vegas forecheck, but Florida's a completely different beast.
You're watching and listening to Jason Greger, host of the Jason Greger Show on Sportsnet 1440 in Edmonton. So, Jason, last year, I think Connor McDavid saw a lot of Forsling. This series, there's a sense that maybe it might be Nico Mikkola and Seth Jones against him. How do you see the matchup on shutting down Connor?
Well, great question, Nick, because I actually looked that up beforehand. I've been writing like 3 articles today. I need a beer. But I was looking at the numbers. And so last year in the Cup final, McDavid, when he was on the ice against Ekblad outscored him 5-0. When he was out against Forsling, it was 4-2. But both of those guys together, that was the pair the Oilers actually had the most success against. Ekblad and Forsling were each out against for 8 goals against 5-on-5 in that series. So Jones and Mikkola, it's interesting to me because they're a lot bigger and they're a lot longer, right? And so you naturally just take up a little bit more space. Forsling, as great of a skater he is, McDavid's speed against Ekblad, I don't love that matchup for Florida. So I wouldn't be surprised. I think we'll probably see it 50-50 a little bit here. Like Chris Knobloch, the one thing that he's not scared of McDavid on any matchup. He's like, you want to put out your best defense and your best forward, fine. Like, it's Connor McDavid. We can handle it, right? But how they do it at certain times, because I think as rested as McDavid and Draisaitl are heading into this series, the importance of game one tonight, guys, I won't be surprised if we see them play their most minutes that we've had in a playoff game this year, excluding overtime, because they want the win. Game one is massive for teams. The Oilers as an organization have never lost it. You look in the salary cap era, when you go up 1-0, a lot of times you win. And, you know, I think Vancouver's the only Canadian team since the Habs won in 93 who actually won game one of the cup final, but then ended up losing the series. All the other ones, Calgary, Edmonton, Ottawa, pretty sure they even Edmonton again in 24. They all lost. Montreal in 21. So you got to get up early in the Stanley Cup final. It's rare to come from behind.
Yeah, teams with home ice who win first are 52-10, .839 winning percentage.
There you go.
It's a pretty key one, I would say. So the Hyman absence you mentioned is a concern. Who does that fall on to help pick up some slack?
Well, Corey Perry is tied for the team lead in goals. Are you kidding me? The ageless wonder here. So he'll play some of Hyman's minutes, but he can't play all those minutes at his age. Chris Knobloch knows that. So I think Hyman will do it. Evander Kane, to me, is the guy, even though he's not on Hyman's line, he's playing with Leon Draisaitl and Kasperi Kapanen. And Kapanen, ever since he came in that game against Vegas in game four, he's been really good. He's got 3 goals. He's on the ice protecting Leeds guys in the final few minutes of a 1-goal game in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So the coach trusts him. He likes playing with Draisaitl, and Kane, to me, is a guy who's got to show up here and score some big goals for Edmonton. Plus, there's another matchup. If it's Kane and Draisaitl against Bennett and Tkachuk, guys, because that means Tkachuk and Kane, Tkachuk's playing right wing, him and Kane line up against each other on the faceoffs. And I was selfishly saying, could we not see some Four Nations opening stuff tonight between it would be awesome. There's guys, Kane can do it, Bennett can do it, Tkachuk can do it, Frederick. Like, they got guys to do it. This is a rivalry. Like, maybe I'm delusional and dreaming.
No,
God.
You're not. You're on the right
path. It would be awesome.
You're totally on the right path. You know, the one guy on Florida, like, if you think about true game breakers, it's easy to go to 97 and 29 on the Oilers. But if you go to game breakers on Florida, you kind of have to think of a little bit about Sam Reinhart, and the one that always, to me, slides underneath the radar is Barkov. And I'm sure we're going to see a lot of Barkov versus McDavid. You know, in the latter part of last season, he shut him down, I guess, in the two games that mattered the most at the end of the series. But, you know, McDavid also found a way to end up with 8 points, I think, in two of those games. So how do you see Barkov in this series, Jason?
Well, it's a 3-time Hart Trophy winner versus a 3-time Selke Trophy winner. It's like, it's a great matchup.
Right.
Like, Barkov he's an unbelievable player. Big, rangy, lean, like that. And the other thing, the funny thing is on that line, as good as Ryan, Evan Rodri, he killed the Oilers last year in the cup final, right? Like, he led them. He had 4 goals. He was awesome. So I look at, as much as it's Barkov, you know, there's Nugent Hopkins and then Reinhart, and, you know, McDavid versus Barkov. I think, obviously, McDavid's speed is where it can beat him, but Barkov's so smart positionally. And I think where McDavid can have success against them is if they get a little too aggressive on the forecheck and you can counterattack. Because in the zone, when Barkov and Reinhart are set up, it is rare that they make a mistake on, like, a cycle play that's not sure. Sometimes the other team will make a good play. But I was talking to some people in Florida. They're like, Barkov and Reinhart, when the opposition is cycling, sometimes they might beat you because they make a great play, but rarely do those guys make mistakes. Now, the advantage is McDavid can beat anybody because of his quickness. If he can cut underneath, that's his move. He likes to come up to the hash marks, and then a quick spin move and cut underneath guys. And I've seen him beat some of the best skaters in the world. So if he can get off of Barkov there, he might have success.
This is probably a dumb question because I know a couple of the superstars there, but I'm trying to make sense of how the Oilers offense always makes good defenses look bad. Like, we watched the Leafs in playoffs here for the first hour of our show, and for years they come up against, you can't expect them to score against Philip Deneau. You can't expect them to score against Alexander Barkov. And for some reason, no matter who the Oilers play, they just put them in a shredder. Is it just the superstars, or is there something more we're missing?
Well, obviously the superstars help. Like, look at those guys. They're third and fourth all time in points per game in the playoffs. Like Leon Draisaitl's average was 1.46 coming in. He's at 1.56. He's actually better. So obviously they play a big role, and they usually face the other team. But what the Oilers do well with their depth guys is they, especially now with their defense, they really can beat you off the rush. Like, Connor Brown can really skate. Like, he's got 5 goals. Matthias Janmark might be the most underrated skater in the game, guys. Like, watch him. He is a fantastic skater up the ice. And so that's where Edmonton, I found, has success on teams, because as the playoffs go along, you got to be able to skate and move. Edmonton doesn't necessarily, grind you down a ton in the offensive zone. They can cycle, right? Like, especially Draisaitl. Draisaitl's like a superstar who's really good at cycling. He reminds me of Forsberg, Nick, where, Forsberg and Jarger, they look over their shoulder. Oh, are you getting close to me?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Now I want you. Now I feel you, and I'm going to go around you.
Here's my big ass. Yeah. Here, eat this.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what Draisaitl does. So they can beat you in different ways. And then the other wild card is, with their defense now, they move the puck so much better. Like, Stan Bowman, I talked to him the other day, and he said 2 months into the season, he felt, we don't generate enough outside of Bouchard and Ekholm to our forwards. And that's why I went and got Wallman and Klingberg. And then Kulak and Nurse as a pair. That gives them every pairing with guys who can either transport the puck or move the puck. And that really helps. Any forwards will tell you, if I get the puck more, my chances of scoring increase.
Hey, with the time off between the conference final and game one, how did Knobloch do on the quote machine versus Maurice this week?
Oh, that's a lopsided affair.
That's a tough one. That's like you and me going in a hair growing competition right now. It might be a little one sided for you. So, what? Chris Knobloch, it's funny. He's not the articulate wordsmith of a Paul Maurice. But the thing I really respect about Knobloch, he doesn't BS you. Yeah. Right? Like, I know he said Connor Brown's a game time decision, but that's about as far as he'll go. Yeah. Usually if you ask him about a technical question, he will give you an answer. He's always kind of told people who his starting goalie is. He doesn't worry about those little mind games. And I think Chris is, he's not going to get to the John Cooper, Paul Murray. Well, maybe he's only his second year in the league, for goodness sake. So maybe in a decade, right? I guess I'd have to go back and think, was Paul Maurice a great speaker when he was 29 and a rookie head coach? Maybe not.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff. You good?
All good.
Jason, really appreciate your time as always. Enjoy game one, and let's catch up again at some point during the series, okay?
You betcha, boys. Anytime. Love coming on. Enjoy the games.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Awesome stuff. Jason Gregor.
Oilers, man.
Connor McDavid is tied with Joe Pavelski for the fifth most playoff points by a player without a Stanley Cup before winning their first. Or before winning their first. Pavelski number one. That list is topped by Ray Bourque, Adam Oates, Dennis Savard, and Brian Popp. So there you go. 143 points in 90 games played for McDavid.
I don't want an NHL with a Connor McDavid over two in a Stanley Cup final. I don't want that NHL.
I don't want an NHL in 2030 with a Connor McDavid who's Joe Thornton on some team trying to like hang on and get a cup. 2035, whatever.
It's a little early to.
I know. That, I'm just saying, let's just get her done here, so we can check that box and
that's where, and that's exactly because it's going against every take I've ever had, really, in my life about wanting the only way I want the cup back in Canada's down Yonge Street and all these things that I've said. But I know for me at least, and maybe like Leaf fans hearing this are screaming, the Four Nations thing and seeing him play for Canada and having him have that huge moment for us, shooting in the net there to beat the States, and just how proud he was to do that. It was very similar to the relationship I had with Sid before the 2010 Olympics, like where I wasn't the hugest Sid guy. There's all the crybaby stuff and a lot of parallels with the grumpiness.
I'm sorry, you're the crybaby, or no, Sid was the crybaby?
Sid early in, I'm a yeah. huge crybaby. And Sid earlier in his career, as you guys would remember, like that was one of the big knocks against him, crying to the refs.
Just like Wayne, just like Mario, because those guys get abused.
I get it.
I know.
So having Sid have that moment in 2010 completely made him one of my favorite players of all time immediately. And I feel the same way about Connor now. And it's just like, it sucks so bad that the cost
is
of
the
this
Oilers winning a cup as a Leaf fan for you?
The stinky Oilers fans getting to rub it in my face.
Yeah.
But it's just the price you got to pay.
Just for a week.
No, a week? I'm going to play in a golf tournament in Alberta in July. It's not going to be good.
I'll cut them off after a week. Get a week to rub it in Sammy's face, and after that, he's off limits.
The last few couple stats. The last three teams to return to the Cup Final after losing the first time did win, that being the 2024 Panthers, 2009 Penguins, and the 84 Oilers.
Yep.
Highest home power play percentage in a single postseason, the Islanders in 81, 42%. Dallas Stars this year, 43%. Oilers are at 56.3% at home on the power play this year.
You mentioned those three
That's
teams.
That's just gross.
That's cheating.
You mentioned not the Panthers, but the two teams before that, the Oilers and the Penguins.
Yep.
Gretzky, Sid, McDavid.
Wow.
It's just...
It's all fallen into place.
It's extremely serendipitous.
Yeah, is that great word. Thank well you. Done.
We're talking serendipity here, boys. It's it's happening. If it doesn't happen, it goes against everything that you would really not believe in, but just prior history. I know you guys don't care about that stuff, but to me, like, it's telling.
So Stu Skinner, prior to the Pickard getting the net, was 0-3 with an .817 save percentage. Last seven starts, 6-1, 1-4-1 goals against, .944 save percentage with 3 shutouts. He's been very, very good. Okay, I'm done.
Anything else in the final, Kip?
No. Let's go to game time.
Okay.
You good?
Yeah, sure. I'm all good. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play test odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. All right, so we can finally get more into the game tonight because it's now happening. The line has not moved much for the game tonight. The Florida Panthers are plus money tonight, plus 100. The Edmonton Oilers are minus 120. That number that you read out to Gregor about, what was the number? For
52-10.
52-10.
If you're at home and win the first game.
It really feels like a massive spot for the Oilers, especially at home. So minus 120 there. I got to tell you, you could talk me into minus a goal and a half tonight for the Edmonton Oilers.
Oh, you think they're...
I just keep going back to that they're... You can't teach desperation. And in the back of the Panthers' mind, they know that they have one. I know it's the final. I know they've gotten all the way there. But this is desperate McDavid.
A complete scene setter tonight. For the next 10 days.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Well,
so one thing I noticed talking to Gregor and our own Billy Duke upstairs or whatever, people from Edmonton don't say the D, huh? Edmonton? You notice the Edmonton thing?
No.
Yeah.
Edmonton.
Yeah, they're from, you know, one thing about Edmonton. Anyway, okay, just me.
Okay.
Hit me up, Oilers fans. Is that a thing in Edmonton?
Or just drop the D.
Or you just say it quickly, it's just Edmonton.
Toronto. I don't think you get the T at the end.
Not supposed to. By the way, great story. My wife told her Long Island, New York friends, you don't really say the T. And one of her friends goes, Oronto?
So that's really funny. Yeah. So there's a bunch of different specials on here. Obviously, they got a ton of stuff on Bet365. But one of them is for Connor McDavid to have one shot on goal in every game of this series is minus 650. That's obviously a huge number to lay juice with. Two shots on goal in every game of the series is plus 100, and three shots on goal in every game of the series is plus 500.
Hard. Yeah, two in every game, though.
That's absolutely.
I do that for sure. He's on every power play. He's the dude. He's going to play 20 minutes. I mean, you're rolling the dice as you, like, you know, get hurt or something.
But. And give me, as the last one here, a little of a prop, give me the team that wins game one to win the series at minus 210. And it's going to be the Oilers tonight, and they're going to win the series.
All right.
So, that was game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play the odds, and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
All right, we'll take a quick break.
Before we go to break,
What do you got?
Friday. We're doing the Canada line again.
Yes.
So the rest of Canada, I was extremely disappointed in you. It was all Leaf fans that called in, except Hunter in Toronto, who was talking about the Oilers, but he's from Toronto. So call in if you're listening to this, 416-413-4141, and we'll play some more Canadian calls as opposed to Leaf calls on Friday.
It was just all Leafs. All Oilers.
Yes.
Stuff.
Are you kidding? All you're going to sneak in a few.
No.
You'll sneak in a few Leafs.
We'll see. But
get off the phone and start dialing.
I generally want more Canadian calls. So,
okay.
So there we go. So just remind you. There you go.
Perfect. All right. We'll take a quick break. And when we return, we'll pick up on game one. I want to, I'm giving you an assignment during commercial break. Okay. You're going to both give me a strong points, reasons why Edmonton will win the Stanley Cup or lose the Stanley Cup. And that includes Florida Panthers as well.
Okay. All right, I'm on it.
All right, and NHL news and notes, including a new head coach in Pittsburgh and who resigned in Colorado?
Brock Nelson.
All right, plenty more still to chew on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
Everything you need to know about the Blue Jays, Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. As a reminder, this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee.
I rarely do this, but I have a commute story from today.
Did you lose anything on the bus?
I did not. But I usually ride my bike, but it was a little too hot today, and I just didn't feel like getting changed here and the whole sweat situation. It's just a lot. So I decided to take the subway like I do a lot of the time, and I was sitting there. And this woman sat down beside me, and she reached into her, tote bag or whatever, and pulled out, a container, a to-go container. And she opened it up, and it was a steaming hot pile of asparagus. freshly cooked.
Just a heap of
condensate. When she took it off, condensation
and
came.
Nothing, just asparagus?
And I was meaty. She just started mucking it, just hammering it away. And the whole subway car immediately reeked of asparagus. And I looked at her, and I was just like, what the hell? Listen, it's asparagus season in Ontario right now. I have asparagus at least twice a week. It's popping right now. I get it. But subway asparagus is one of the most insane things I've ever witnessed. Listen, I ride the subway a lot. I see a lot of crazy things. Insane move.
Just a grip of asparagus.
Just asparagus. Give me a sprig, lady.
It won't be a problem until your pee smells.
Yeah, that's it. That's fine. As long as I just... Anyways.
She wasn't just holding it in her hand. At least she had a to-go container.
Oh, God. So there you go. So tales from the subway.
Well, you didn't lose a jersey on
it. No, I didn't. I go past Dufferin. Every time I go past Dufferin and Bloor on my bike, I think about the old Don Waddell jersey.
That's so good.
Thanks, all right, PTC.
Brock Nelson.
Let's start with you.
Okay.
A reason why the Oilers will win, mm-hmm. or a reason why the Oilers will lose.
Can I be really dull on this? I mean, the reason why is they have the best players in the series. And the reason why they'll lose is that their goalie is less than the other goalie. Am I underthinking it?
When you speak of just two game guys. Breakers.
Two guys. There, if you put everyone in a pile and said, who are the best two players, the Oilers got them.
I think they're going to get in behind the Panthers a lot.
Yeah.
And we saw the Leafs do it, and the Leafs aren't nearly as fast as the Oilers' forwards are. I really do think that there's going to be some breakaways, there's going to be some odd mans, and they're going to take advantage of
Kapanen's
that.
Kapanen's been
the
a good fit for them because he, replacing, Holloway, whatever, McLeod, he can go.
Yeah. So
is it as simple as the Oilers lose because of Skinner as it is for JB?
I hate to do it, but I really don't feel like that's their biggest weak spot, right? Like we talked with Gregor about their D-core, three good pairs, their forward lines are going. If he turns into a pumpkin, they probably are going to have some issues. I guess he could pull the Pickard lever if it gets bad, but I think it really does come down to Skinner, and that's bad to say. It's sorry to him, but it really does feel like it comes down to him. No?
And where are you at?
I'm with you in terms of the desperation out of the two best game breakers. And McDavid and Leon have that ability to single-handedly make a great play. And I don't think Florida has that guy.
Right.
As much as we saw Barkov made an incredible play behind the net on one of the big goals in the clinching game against Carolina. Wearing him like a backpack and then feeding it to Carter Verhaeghe. Those are far and few for the Florida Panthers.
They mostly bounce it in there and hope it goes through.
Yeah, and those are moments. Like game five, okay, Dallas scores within one, and then Connor goes on that breakaway, and it's like, oh, you know what? You're eliminated.
You know, I do think
it's over now.
Watching Leafs-Panthers, and the Leafs come out and they win the first two games, and Florida along the way hammers their D and hammers their D and hammers their D. Leafs win. Game three, hammer their D. All of a sudden, game five, their Leafs D didn't look so great. I am curious. We got lots of praise for Wallman and Klingberg. Mm-hmm. You know, is Klingberg that reliable
after
game five after he's been, under that same pressure?
When Sam Bennett and Gadjevich and these big forwards
like
are just leaning on.
Every time you go back, you need to find a relief valve quick.
Yeah. Okay, so give me a reason why Florida will win the Stanley Cup for the second consecutive year.
I think that forecheck. To me, it's like their ability to get on teams and make them, and that includes the D down the wall.
Yeah.
Like you just feel in your own end, like we better go back and get that puck or else whatever, or else we're screwed. And then that gives bad gaps and it's the forecheck.
I don't want to say this and put it in the air, but their ability to injure people too is a factor.
It's not nothing.
I mean,
they
take guys out.
Yeah, they're very good at it.
Yeah. So they play dirty, and, Sam Bennett's going to be going hard to the front of the net, hoping to get Kelvin Pickard involved in the series. Elbowed Stolarz, elbowed Anderson. Like, he's looking to do damage, so that's a factor for me.
And good one. So if I go outside of your game breakers in Draisaitl and McDavid, then the rest of the lineup for Florida is
that third line
better at being a support cast than the Oilers. So I think one of the reasons why Edmonton could lose this series is because, I don't know, it's midnight and Cinderella is running out of time here. Yeah. So Corey Perry, Connor Brown, even put Colson and Yarnmark, who've come up with big plays. Does the magic wear off on those guys?
Yeah.
Finally in the playoffs. And then you go on the other side of Florida and they're still kind of proven guys with Lindell and, Marchand coming out of nowhere now as a top nine guy and playing like he's a huge part. So who outlasts who?
But the other part of that is Seth Jones has been, you can say he's been their best D-man in the playoffs. He's been unbelievable for them. Is he this good? Clock could strike midnight on him too.
If you went back, I think that one small run where Columbus was pretty good, I think 2019, Seth Jones was off the charts, top 10 D in the league. Mm-hmm. He was that good. And it was like,
took 5 years off.
And it was like, he's going to stay the rest of his career there. And they're going to have to find a way to get rid of Werwinski. Mm. And obviously it never happened. And it went downhill since he's been traded, but he was in 2019, one of the best defensemen in the league.
Yeah, he's hit the highs before. So yeah, we'll see. Is he this guy? Maybe he is.
And
2019 is the year, I think, that they beat Tampa in the first round and swept them?
Yes.
Is that right? Right?
Yep.
Correct.
The glory year, remember Portsline came on?
Yeah.
They call it the glory year there.
It's like, aw.
Yeah. And then, how good's goalie Bob going to be?
Yeah. He can have bad moments. He actually let in a few muffins in the last round, too. So, lot to be decided.
Excited.
Okay, talk to me about Brock Nelson in Colorado. I thought they were doing Mitch Marner. Can they do both?
I think 7.5 2 years ago would have been a huge number, but with the cap going up and a 3-year commitment, which isn't horrible. And let's face it, you gave up some serious assets to get him. There was a lot of pressure on Colorado to come up with 7.5. That was always the number.
MacKinnon, Nelson, Coyle's pretty good. 1, 2, 3 down the middle. Natchez, Nichushkin. Like, is Landeskog a guy now again? Like, they could be Lekkonen, Duran.
I think you don't know about Landeskog.
Either way, it doesn't seem like that was, like, one of the Marner places, and it doesn't seem like that's an option now.
I think you pointed something there, Kipper, that's going to be really interesting, is, like, the sticker shock now that the cap's going up. Like, when I saw that number, I mean, it's kind of a shocking number, do you think? 7.5 for Brock Nelson?
I don't want that at all.
It's not.
That's what I mean. It's with not. The cap going up and the percentages.
Well, but
like,
hold on. It's, yeah.
It's going
up.
Significant.
Like was it a $5 million contract in years past?
No, I mean, it's probably still six and something. You know, like, it's real money they gave him.
It is, but it also, like, look at the escalation in 3 years, JB.
Yeah, and it's, for sure.
And it'll still be 7.5, right?
It's
an artificial cap right now that should be, right now, it should be $102 million cap.
When the season starts next year, Brock Nelson's going to be 34 years old. He just, you know, say what you want about Nelson, and I think he's a fine player, but, you know, in playoffs, he had no goals.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not scared anymore about 34, 35-year-olds. I think between Corey Perry and
26 goals this year. I don't know.
Between Corey Perry and a few of the other guys at 40, Brad Marchand's, you know, not 40, but he's closing in. They're playing at high levels.
But these are the elite guys. The best guys can do it for
Brock
a
Nelson
long time.
Has been pretty elite.
He's been pretty good.
He had 3 straight 30-goal years before this year.
Yeah, that's some serious talent.
Yeah, he's shooting it in the net. But I think, you know, you look at the
56.7 million. It's not going to get better. I'm just saying, I don't know if that's Colorado's answer. That's all.
But now, you know, you look at that free agent class that everyone was already talking about being thin. Nelson gone. Gord got signed. Mm-hmm. I mean, Gord's not that big, but he's a name that was on that list that teams would be trying to. It's getting thin and hurt. Like, the top end of these guys must love seeing these names go off the boards early. Like, just drive up the price for July 1.
Absolutely.
I'll pull a Sammy McKee here and throw a little Leaf talk in this.
Yes.
But it's almost a foregone conclusion that John Tavares wants to stay, and it's just a matter of, like, how much of a discount, right?
Yep.
That all the talk around here is about John Tavares is a discount. But if he wasn't from Toronto and he'd be open to play anywhere, like, he's coming off 38 goals.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, you just gave goals. Nelson at 26.
Nelson
and got
at 26. What do you think John Tavares on, hey, everybody, highest bid wins, let's go.
Top 10 faceoff guy in the NHL, scores 38 goals. You know, he's hard on the puck. He's got more responsible. Like, he's been a captain in the league. 34 years old. Like, someone might give him $8 or $9 million. Not the Leafs.
No, definitely not the Leafs.
But someone might if you said, how am I not better than Brock Nelson?
At 3 years, I think on an open market, John Tavares could hit Brock Nelson's 7.5 all day long.
Sure.
For 3 years.
What are you getting more from Brock Nelson? He's not fighting anyone.
But I saw today Fuchs and Marchese that Elliot was saying that they were talking about the long the lower AAV long contract for Tavares. Like, the kind of like what they did with Tanev. And just,
cap's going up. Just are we paying what he's worth and not
are we sure?
deal with this for five. No.
Are we sure
I'm
here?
I'm sure it's not.
Well, it's a deeper conversation.
Well, I mean, we got the time. We got 3 minutes here. Why not?
It's a deeper conversation because it's not strictly about having the money, so just spend it. It's about, is there a fit for him? Is he still producing 60, 70-point seasons? Is he automatically on your first power play still? Is he a second line centerman in the playoffs, or is he not?
I've done this 100 times. Right? There's arsenic in the cake, but it's a cheap cake. It's like, I don't care. I don't want that cake.
It's a poison cake.
The cake is bad. Quit serving it to me. You know, like,
it's like the cake in Matilda that's like full of like blood.
I don't know that reference, no? But I'll trust you.
You never seen Matilda?
No, I haven't.
Oh, wow.
I'm surprised you have.
Ah, a kid once, you know? It actually really terrified me. It's like this like kind of racket eating like a bloody cake. It was bad. Anyways, continue.
I've got Bo Byram on with the thought of Owen Power in Buffalo, yeah, and Darlene. Darlene's not going anywhere. I believe that Power's not going anywhere. You think this guy's
Riley for Byram
set to be a top defenseman?
How do you like that for the Leafs?
All day long.
Yeah. How do you like it for Buffalo?
No good. Morgan, no Ryan, good. No more. Morgan's. No. He's too old for them.
You can have Nick Robertson too.
Buffalo needs to be good at one point.
I gotta tell you, love Buffalo. Dying for them to be good.
It's time to be good, boys. Like, yeah, you have to be good here, but
and
it just feels like there's
Paterka one out.
They just have no.
You have to have guys for guys to want to be there. And so that's the problem. When you.
Well, they don't have palm trees.
How do you get.
But the Bills have Josh Allen, so people want to come there.
That's all it is.
But that's literally what the general.
Can they be the Ottawa Senators next year?
Ugh.
And just get in a first round?
Not a chance.
But this, like, I mean, give the Sens credit. In years past, they showed flashes of pushing towards something. It's just like,
boys, Buffalo could finish near the bottom next year. The top line right now is Benson and Coolidge.
Yeah, they're not.
With Thompson.
Yeah.
Paterka, McLeod, Quinn, Zucker, Krebs, Tuck, Rosen, Ostlund, Lafferty.
Mm.
What are we doing here?
It's bad. It's really bad.
At least the D's good. Darlene, yep. Samuelson, Byron, Clifton. I think I'm missing one there. No Power. Yeah, like their D's good.
I do love Darlene, but wasn't there a rumor about him being sour too?
He was, yeah, he was like, I didn't ask out.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, like, there was a whole thing.
Didn't you?
Ukko-Pekka, the guy?
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Is he the guy?
No, the other guy's supposed to be the guy, right? Devin Levi? He was a Team Canada World Junior goalie. He's got some pedigree.
Ukko-Pekka is the type of guy that ends up on another team and then becomes a star.
Yeah. Is he buddy who's with Nico Mikkola?
Nico Mikkola and Ukko-Pekka.
I love those names.
Anytime you have multiple guys who you're waiting to be the guy, you have no guys.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, there's so many candidates for the next Sabres guy on the current Sabres roster.
Like to go
somewhere else and be great. Like, I mean, Dylan Cousins already went to Ottawa. Wasn't great in the playoffs for them, but, like, had some flashes.
Yeah.
I mean, if Darlene.
He needs a good summer, Dylan Cousins.
They've got Buffalo's got the combine going on right now. Oh, agents and teams are all down there right now, and they're all talking to each other.
How exciting.
They got Kekalainen in there now.
They got to put a call in.
Kekalainen has Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. They're collecting names.
You should just do a Finnish show for an hour.
So is Nico Mikkola Finnish? Probably.
Yeah, for sure he is. But so who does Kevin Adams report to? No.
Yarmo
reports to Kevin.
Correct.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Weird. Buffalo just really needs to get it together here. I'm sick of just having the conversation about them being sad sack every year.
Yeah.
What do we know about Dan Muse?
Muse.
New head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
I know that he didn't really like he played some D3 hockey, but he's coached everywhere. He's an assistant for assistant for years. He coached at Yale. He's the U.S. national. I think it's risky for Kyle Dubas to have another first-time coach as your hire, but I think you're saying that we're rebuilding together, and you say, look, Chris Knobloch, you know, was a first-time head coach. He's back-to-back cup finals.
I'm okay with
Keefe ended up being a good hire, or at least he's, you know, still in the league.
I'm okay with Kyle thinking outside the box, and
he's supposed to do that.
But Kyle, get it right though.
Yeah, he's got it. Right? Like, he's got it.
I hope you got a Carberry.
Yes.
Yeah, like I've said so many times in this show that you just got to try somebody new.
You don't get Dubas as your guy to bring in Tortorella.
But I saw that Sid, your Dan Muse is going to tell Sid what to do.
I know. But you're entrusting it to an outside-the-box guy.
Oh, boy.
You're going to get some outside-the-box hires.
All right. Here we go. Our hour's up. And once again,
series pick
solved nothing.
Series pick.
I want the Oilers to win, but I picked Florida in September. I picked them before the playoffs. I'm not bailing on them now. So I got the Panthers in seven.
Oilers in seven.
Oilers in five.
Wow. There you go. All right. It all starts tonight on Sportsnet, Florida and Edmonton. Game one. Enjoy it. Thanks for listening.